Thank you for listening to this podcast from TheUnheardNerd.com. If you like what you hear, please consider liking, sharing, reviewing, and subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcast feed of choice, and help us to keep creating and improving our content. Thank you.
TheUnheardNerd.com. Radio Mass places a disc.
And now our feature presentation.
It is officially Alien Day as we are recording this show, so it seems only appropriate that I should confess my first kiss was with a facehugger. I got better though, so all's well that ends well. Well, welcome to Betamax and Laserdisc, the TV and movie podcast from TheUnheardNerd.com, and as always I'm joined by the one and only, the great John. How are you, John?
Happy Alien Day!
Yay, happy Alien Day. 4/26, it's the wrong way round. America, actually.
And it's not just a cynical marketing ploy by 20th Century Fox. Woohoo!
Yeah, we are recording on the 26th of April 2016, the very first worldwide recognised Alien Day in honour of the Alien films. Alien, Aliens, Alien 3, Alien, we don't talk about, and and all such things. The name, or the date they've chosen, is quite clever in a way, don't you think? Are you familiar with the story?
we mean the LV 426?
That's why I knew you would, because you're a fan of the series of films.
Ever so slightly.
So to celebrate, it's 30 years, it's the 30th anniversary of Aliens this year. Mm-hmm. And they've decided to have an Alien Day in the same way as, I guess, you know, you get May the 4th is Star Wars Day, yeah. Which makes sense. So they came up with the date, the 26th of April, because the planet that Ripley visits in Alien, where they first discover the Xenomorph, is LV-426. And of course, Americans doing the day all wrong for some reason. 426 equates to April 26th. Like 9/11, wrong way round. Never quite makes sense. But yeah, it's Alien Day today. And as such, we've hit the website up with lots of alien stuff, including comics and video games and the Alien Stompers, which we were just talking about before we started recording, which are the replicas of the trainers the Ripley wore, I think, in Aliens.
That's right.
They're fucking ugly.
They're pretty horrible.
They're not nice trainers, but they've sold out, apparently, with a hefty number being sold in America. How many was that, John?
I think they only had about 34 for sale for the US.
34. I mean, they had low expectations, clearly. And I'm not surprised. God, they are butt ugly trainers. So, I mean, they come up to like the knee almost. They're really high tops. The lower ones, sort of the regular high tops that are on sale, which I think are the replicas of the trainers that the android wore. Christ, what was his name?
Ash.
Gone blank on that
one. Oh, no, sorry, Aliens. Oh, no, sorry, it's Bishop for Aliens.
Bishop, sorry. You're right, that's right. So the replica of the ones that Bishop wore in Aliens are a little bit more tasteful, but they're still like, they look like kids' trainers. They got Velcro on. I've progressed to laces now. I can do them.
I saw the Alien Stompers years ago. Yeah, I think they were the actual ones.
Oh, really?
They were part of Alien War, if you remember that, at the Trocadero in London.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, vaguely do remember that. Wow. Yeah, Trocadero. I was just reading a Vice report. You know, Vice, the website.
All right.
And they had a report. I don't know. I was searching because recently we went to a. We'll come on to it later. We went to a screening of Midnight Special at the Picture House Central in London, and and I was thinking, was that part of the old Trocadero building? So Trocadero used to be this amazing, like, I don't know, 4-floor arcade or something. It was like
cinema, wasn't it? Arcade,
massive place. Yeah, it was like the place to go when you were like a teenage boy, really, and you wanted to play video games and hang out, and it's no more, really, but it used to house Sega World at some point.
Which
was just dedicated to Sega arcades and games, and it was a great place to go. But it's part of Trocadero. They had this, what was it again, Alien
Alien War.
Alien War. I don't really remember what it was. I don't think I ever did it, but I was aware of it.
It was it first came together in some place called the Arches in Glasgow, and they I think they contacted Fox to get permission to go ahead and do it, and then they brought it down to London. It was in the basement of the Trocadero Centre. I don't know what you'd call it. I suppose a bit like a ghost train ride in a way, but without actually any trains to ride on. You'd walk around the futuristic colony like from Aliens, and you were guided around by a marine. And with the clever use of hidden speakers, sound effects, strobe lighting, you'd believe that the aliens were stalking you and attacking you.
That is a pretty clever concept.
It was. You just got so immersed in it. You just, you know, the marine shouts, "There's an alien! Run!" You go, "Shit!" And you really did run. You panic because it was dark and the lighting and the atmosphere just really got to you. And I remember that at one point you was it a lift? I think we all get squashed into a lift, and he pushes the button, and the lift moves a little way, and there's a thumping on the doors, and everyone starts screaming, and the doors pry open, and there's an alien there, and it grabs one of the party and pulls them out, and the door slams shut. And you're going, "Oh my God, oh my God." Oh, it was absolutely brilliant. I guess, coming back.
I have to say, if the Marine was Hicks, I would just nobble that guy and leave him behind. The most annoying character in those films, don't you think?
Annoying? Why?
Oh, I hate that character. I hate Hicks. It's awful.
What, Michael Biehn, the one who survives to the end?
Maybe I've got it wrong. They're really annoying guy. He's like, we're all dead, man. Who is that? He's a famous actor.
Bill Paxton, the actor. Hudson.
Is it Hudson? It's Hudson and Hicks, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, yeah, Hudson. Whichever one it is, he's a dick anyway.
he does come across as annoying.
Yeah, I don't like that guy. But yeah, I mean, Alien, I'm running a poll on the on Twitter at this minute as to, you know, vote for your favourite Alien film of the four, you know, the Alien, Aliens, Alien 3 and Alien Resurrection. Which one would you vote for as your favourite?
It's got to be Aliens, I suppose. Yeah, it has to be Aliens.
Aliens. I'm inclined to agree with that. That would be my pick as well. But at present, with 18 hours left to vote, Alien is ahead with 55% of the vote. Aliens coming in second with 36%, and Alien Resurrection 9%. But Alien 3, no votes at all. I mean,
come on, that's unfair.
I think so. I think that film actually...
It really deserves more love.
It does deserve more love. It's a good film. I enjoyed it.
Especially, I mean, if you're going to watch it, at least, you know, watch the extended edition, which has been available for years now on both DVD and Blu-ray. It really is a better film for it.
Yeah, I've got all four of them. I got them a few years ago, actually. Quite a few years ago. So I may not have the extended cut, but it is a good film. It's tense in a different way. And the video game, the Mega Drive video game, that was out, Alien 3.
Yeah,
I don't know if you ever played that. That was tense as well. It had the heartbeat and like that, or the radar thing they've got, the monitor thing.
Yeah, the motion tracker.
Like the sounds that it makes. Actually, fucking hell, it's like tense. There's an alien coming from somewhere, and you're not sure where. And the noise is getting more and more. I remember playing that game like in my bedroom in the dark and like being quite tense. That was, I think, my favourite Alien game I've ever played. And there's been a few. Again, I was looking up Alien games. I was thinking about doing a feature. So I thought there hasn't been that many. There's been loads.
Oh, there's tons.
Yeah.
Even all the way back to, I think there's an Alien game on the Atari 2600. It's basically a glorified version of Pac-Man, but it's still labelled up as Alien.
Yeah. But a strong franchise that's lasted a long time. Alien Resurrection... It's not actually that bad a film, I might be as bold to say. I just had a little conversation with a guy, Stibouche, I think is his name, on Twitter, at Stibouche. Uh-huh. And he was defending the film. I think he's probably the one that's voted for it on the Twitter poll. And he was saying, it's not a bad film. And actually, if you look at it, you've got a lot. If you compare it to something like Firefly... there are a lot of comparisons, and I don't think it's a bad film. it just feels very, very out of place with the other three.
All I remember is the alien attack underwater.
Mm.
And Winona Ryder and that god-awful hybrid thing at the end that looks like it's made out of Milky Bar chocolate.
That is bad.
Oh, God.
And for some reason, the bit that sticks with me is the basketball scene.
Oh, yeah. The shot from... Does she even look at it? She just throws it behind her, doesn't she? And she gets the basket.
I don't know, but it just feels really odd and out of place, even in that film. That film's out of place with the rest of the films. And that scene is so, like, what is this? A fucking high school somewhere? You know, basketball battle. It just seems so strange. But,
I've been really excited for it as well. I remember watching the trailers thinking, oh, brilliant, another alien film. This is going to be fantastic.
Mm.
You've got Ron Perlman. You've got, I remember being excited because it's got that guy who played, is it Top Dollar in The Crow? He's got that really gravelly voice.
Right, yeah, I know who you mean.
Yeah, it just looked really good. And then you sat down in the cinema to finally watch it. And it's like, oh.
Yeah, bit of a letdown. I'd still watch it, though. I'd still sit through it, I think. But yeah, we've got the new film in development, which is somehow sort of fitting in between Alien 3 and dismissing the last one a little bit, I think. I'm not sure, but it's Neil Blomkamp, isn't it?
That's the guy. Yeah, he released a new image today, didn't he, on Instagram?
I haven't seen it, but yeah.
Oh, it's a production artwork of what Newt's going to look like.
Oh, I see. Okay, they call me Newt. It's not Rebecca, it's Newt.
It mostly came at night. Mostly.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of that the other night. It was on TV, so they've been showing it on Film 4, I think. And I just saw that scene. It's made me laugh.
I think I got on the Blu-ray set for my birthday about 2 years ago. I still haven't watched them yet.
Oh, really? I feel a lot stronger about that film now that I've got kids. Yeah, now I've got little girls that look a lot like her. But, cool. So that's Alien. We're celebrating all things Alien today on Alien Day 426. Hashtag Alien Day 426. Still the wrong way around. But that's an unusual start to the show. We've talked about actual movies. Why don't we talk a little bit about what we've watched since the last time we recorded, which was in March.
It just got released late.
It just got edited really late because, yeah, I don't have a lot of time, actually. I'm a busy man. We had loads of screenings to go to. Well, I did anyway. we went to a screening.
We did manage to join up for one, yeah.
We saw, it's actually not one that we got through merit, through the website in any way. It's what I won in a competition, thanks to MCM Comic Con.
Still counts.
It still counts, yeah. We got to go and see Midnight Special early, about a week early before it hit cinemas in the UK. And we were in a fucking huge queue, and someone very kindly came and found us and took us right to the front, so we got the best seats in the cinema as well.
Yeah, middle, brilliant.
middle at Picture House Central, screen one. Job
Hashtag
done.
Two beers, one movie.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. We'll have to make that a thing. Two beers, one movie. And yeah, you reviewed it.
We had a personal introduction by the director.
We did. I forgot about that. It's quite a something, isn't it? So yeah. Blasé about these things now. Yeah. Oh, John Boyega one day. we'll come on to that again in a minute. And this fellow Jeff Nichols. Ahead of Midnight Special, which was actually a very decent film.
Mm.
It stars General Zod.
Michael Shannon.
He's got a name, apparently. some little kid and some other bloke. And who was it? It was girl from Spider-Man.
So I'm going to say, girl from Spider-Man. I can't remember her name now. Kirsten Dunst,
that's right. God, we're so wrong. We should do a little bit of research for these, really, shouldn't we? Good film. It's a little boy who's clearly got special talents and abilities, and for some reason he's on the run with his father and this other chap who is trying to keep him safe. And it's quite tense in a way, but I didn't find it quite tense enough. I don't know, we discussed this briefly after we watched it, but it was sort of an old school Spielberg-y type film in a sort of Close Encounters way, but not.
Yeah,
it's like a cross between E.T. and Close Encounters. In a way, you know, in the, this little boy in effect is phoning home.
In a way, yeah,
kinda. That's not really a spoiler, I don't think. Doesn't really give anything away. But yeah, the little boy's got special talents. It is. There are some moments that sort of did catch me by surprise. You know, I think anyone that's seen the trailers knows that the little boy's eyes light up. But there are sort of effects that come along with that. I don't want to give too many spoilers because it is probably still in cinemas. It's still worth a watch. In fact, my wife had a day, or she had a week off recently in between jobs, and she went and saw it. She chose to go and watch it at the cinema, and she enjoyed it immensely as well. But it didn't answer all the questions for me. And the more I've thought about it, the more questions it's raised. Like, how did the boy get there in the first place?
Yeah.
It's never answered or even addressed in the movie. And,
apparently, I read an interview with the director Jeff Nichols, and he said that when he wrote the film, he actually wrote down like everything, you know, like the backstory. So in effect, he wrote the backstory of the film, what happens afterwards, and
he
wrote everything, and then just sort of like took one slice down the middle of that timeline and said this chunk of the story will be my film.
Ah,
so he knows how the boy got the powers and why the church, whatever the church using for. If you don't know, there's a cult church society. They're also after the boy as well as the FBI.
Yeah, the boy.
That's saying they don't really drill on enough, is it? I wanted to know a bit more about this strange cult.
Yeah, the boy uses or has the ability to sort of hear and translate. Like digital transmissions to satellites, he can sort of pick them up from satellites, and he was intercepting and translating like code and things from military satellites, and the church were using him really as sort of a inspiration, I suppose, for his sermons that the preacher. But obviously, the government latched onto the fact that this kid's got some ability, and he's seeing and translating things that he shouldn't be, and they're interested to know why. Kylo Ren's there, and he is.
He's there, yes.
Not as Kylo Ren, but
no, obviously not. Adam, is it Adam something?
Adam Driver.
That's it. Good with bad. Yeah.
Between us, we get the answers eventually. Yeah, he works for the government, and he's really he wins the boy's trust to a degree. But it is kind of like about keeping the boys safe from the military, from the cult. They're on the run. It is tense to a degree.
But there's that prophecy, isn't there, that the boy has to be at a certain place at a certain time.
Yeah.
But no one knows why he has to be there. They don't know if it's going to cause the end of the world or if something special is going to happen.
You really do have to take a big leap of faith
I can't remember where that prophecy comes from in the beginning. Do you remember who said... Where that comes from, the prophecy?
I'm not sure. I mean,
all I remember is the fact that what I've just said, the boy has to be here at this time in this place, and that's what they're heading for. And so it's still a brilliant film, but it's just, as you said before, there's a lot of questions. You're like, oh, why didn't we find out about that and stuff?
And I would say that the big reveal at the end did leave me thinking, I was hoping for a little bit more, something a little bit more special, but
okay, yeah,
perhaps didn't have the budget to achieve that. But I did enjoy it. It was a good film. I'm not dissing it in any way. It's absolutely is definitely worth a look. Even if you don't go to the cinema to watch it now, get it on home release or download it when it's available, and give it a watch. It's definitely a good use of an hour and 45 minutes or however long it is. It's not a long film. Well, certainly didn't feel like a long film. I think
that's a good sign as well.
Maybe we were there for a couple of hours, but it didn't feel overly long. So Midnight Special. I'd recommend it. Worth a look, and you can read John's review on theunheardnerd.com.
Awesome.
Mm. So what have you watched since the last time we spoke, John?
What should I choose first? That's the old one I saw. I saw Daddy's Home, the comedy starring Will Ferrell and Marky Mark.
Marky Mark Wahlberg.
That's him, yes. give him his 90s name.
I'll be honest, I don't know anything about this film. I've seen sort of trailers floating about on YouTube. I haven't watched any of them. So I know nothing about this. Enlighten me.
Okay, well, Will Ferrell plays like the perfect dad, but due to an accident at the dentist, he can no longer have kids. So he's trying to make up for it, and he's trying to be the perfect dad to these two step Keith Scott. He's married this woman, but they don't see him as dad. They just call him by his real name. I forgot what it is. And no matter what he does, the kids don't really accept him.
Right.
And then they start to turn, and he just thinks yes, I'm winning. They're finally starting to accept me as a father. And then their real dad, who is Mark Wahlberg, who's like this sort of rough gruff, goes around on a Harley guy, turns up. And it ends up being a battle between the two of them, each one trying to sort of outdo the other one in impressing the kids and showing who's the better father. It's actually quite funny.
It is. Oh, good.
It is. It's because a lot of times you see these trailers for comedies and you end up seeing all the best jokes in the trailer and the film's a bit rubbish. But no, I watched Daddy's Home with the Missus and I actually really enjoyed it.
Well, I don't think either of those actors offend me in any way. Will Ferrell's quite consistently good, although doesn't always... Yeah, he's not always in the best of films, but yeah, he's always good.
Yeah.
And apart from Transformers, Mark Wahlberg's pretty. he's all right, isn't he? He's not yeah. like an epic actor, but yeah, he can do comedy. He can do straight films. He's an accomplished actor without ever really doing anything amazingly special. But I'm not offended by either of those. So you recommend that?
Yeah, it's a good comedy. I recommend that one. He must have done something, right? Because last few days have just announced they're going ahead with a sequel. So,
all right,
it's popular.
So, if you had to judge it, John, on our new movie scale, with Laserdisc being a flop, Betamax being pretty much straight down the middle, and VHS being a hit, where would you place Daddy's Home?
I think I'll stick it on VHS.
VHS, it's a hit. Ka-ching. Nice one. I literally just thought of that scoring system. I think we should run with that
keep it going.
As this show becomes more and more format driven, eventually we'll be able to syndicate it to networks all over the world, or not. Thanks for our 12 listeners that enjoy the show, and we love to have you keep listening. What else have you watched, John? You've watched a couple of things.
I went and saw the recent film from the Coen brothers, Hail Caesar.
No, I do like the Coen brothers. Does Hail Caesar, does it come anywhere near Old Brother, Where Art Thou? Just throwing that comparison out at you. Out of nowhere. Could possibly not be related in any way.
God, did I see that? I think I must have seen that at the cinema, or a blind brought it on DVD, and I watched it once and I enjoyed it, and I haven't seen it since.
It's an amazing film, and I was reminded of it recently. I tried to go to a new barber's, which was a mistake.
Right.
And in the barber's, they have, and if you don't remember the film very well, this will mean nothing to you, but in that barber's, I sat there for about 15 minutes, and they pretended they were going to cut my hair, and then said, we can't, because you haven't got an appointment. And I was a bit disgruntled, went back to my usual barber, who I should never have left anyway, because he loves my beard. And in this new barber's anyway, they've got this display, and it's really poncy, quite new, hipster barber's. And they've got a display of Dapper Dan hair wax.
Oh, right, yeah.
Which features very heavily in Old Brother, Where Art Thou?
I'm a Dapper Dan man.
Exactly. George Clooney's character lives by it. Anyone that hasn't seen Old Brother, Where Art Thou, just sort your life out. Go and get that, because it is a brilliant film. But okay, so maybe perhaps not fair to compare Hail Caesar and Old Brother, Where Art Thou, even though they both star George Clooney.
They do indeed. Now, I remember the trailers, sort of the ones I saw, tend to make the main focus being the fact that George Clooney is an actor. It's all set in 1950s Hollywood, and he gets kidnapped. But the film's just so much more. The film really revolves around Josh Brolin, who's kind of like the fixer. He sorts out all the problems the studio has. They're kind of making a massive film about Jesus, and he calls in like a priest, a rabbi, a Jew, and someone else to try and get their input on how he can make this film best received by everyone.
I have to be honest, this is nothing at all what I expected. I again haven't really watched the trailers, but I was expecting something like Carry On, like a Carry On film set in ancient Rome, and obviously it's nothing like that.
Now there's another brilliant scene where they want an actor to do this sort of this film, but he's not available, and it's kind of a I don't know what kind of film you call it. It's like all about sort of posh people, if that makes sense. Okay. And then they have to get this actor who's only ever worked on cowboy movies,
right.
And so he's good at riding a horse and doing a lasso, but he can't talk eloquently. And there's just a brilliant scene where the director, played by Ralph Fiennes, is trying to teach him how to speak properly. It's actually brilliant.
So I mean,
it's really good film.
The overall plot then,
it's George Clooney gets kidnapped.
Right, okay.
And they desperately need him back because they're filming this huge Roman film with him that's costing loads of money.
But there's other
little events that happen around that, like Tilda Swinton plays two different news reporters that are trying to get exclusive access on the story that he's gone missing.
She plays two?
Yeah, she's in there twice.
Two different
news reporters. Scarlett Johansson is like a dancing girl who's been knocked up by someone and they're trying to hide it. And it's absolutely brilliant. I think I have to watch it again.
I mean, Coen brother films often have lots of different sort of plots going through the films that somehow combine and cross over. And they're never really straightforward. It sounds good on the scale of Laserdisc to VHS. I've got a feeling I know where this one's going, but is it Laserdisc being a flop, Betamax Betamax being down the middle, or VHS being a success?
Oh, definitely VHS.
VHS. I thought it might be. We might have to expand on this scope and have DVD and Blu-ray as well.
or
Blu-ray and DVD. Oh God. Which way? That's too complicated. Let's keep it as it is. okay. Interesting you mentioned Tilda Swinton there. We'll again come on to this a little bit later, but she appears in the Doctor Strange trailer. But we'll come on to that later. We've got another section and we've got a name for it as well. It's exciting. Okay. Yeah. There's another thing that you've watched, I believe.
Yes. I saw Krampus.
Krampus. Now, I don't know much about Krampus, but isn't it a Christmas story?
It is essentially, yeah. It's like an evil Santa Claus. He's the spirit that comes and visits you if you're naughty.
Oh. And is he the one that gives you the lump of coal? Because that's what I threaten my kids with. If you're not good, you'll just get a lump of coal, like in the olden days.
And they're like, yeah, whatever, Dad.
Yeah. We've already found the presents.
Yeah. It's not that iPad Air. I'm really disappointed, Dad.
One of my kids actually did ask for an iPad. I laughed at him. I said, you're kidding. Really? Yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's beside the point. So the Krampus, is it a horror movie?
I'd say it's a horror. I mean, everyone keeps banding around the same description and it just fits so aptly. It's like a sort of modern Gremlins because it is horror with a lot of comedy.
Hmm.
And there is violence with fantastical creatures, but in much the same way as Gremlins, there's no actual blood. People get attacked, but there's no blood flying everywhere.
So the story
is about this this boy who really believes in Christmas, and people take the piss out of him for it sometimes, and he gets into the film brilliantly opens with this Christmas song playing while in slow motion you see people storming this supermarket trying to buy all the Christmas stuff and fighting with each other, just showing you sort of how ridiculous the idea of Christmas has become.
Yeah.
And they're like an upper class family and they live well. He's got a sister and a mum and a dad. And the trailer trash sort of cousins come to stay for Christmas. Mm. And the dad's like a gun nut. He's got two young girls that he dresses like boys because apparently he wished they were boys. So he gets them to fight. There's this like fat little dumpy kid who just says nothing and just eats. There's the aunt who's just fat and rude, and they all argue and everything just goes completely downhill. It all kicks off because they find the two girls find this letter addressed to Santa that says, "I wish my mum and dad were together more. I wish that my cousins didn't fight with me," and blah, blah, blah. And they take the piss out of him for it. And so when he's upstairs in his room, he's thinking of resealing the letter back up and sending it off to Santa Claus like he's going to originally. But instead he rips it up and chucks it out the window and goes, "Oh, well, I wish they're all dead," or something like that. Mm. And that invokes the spirit of Krampus, who sort of slowly over the course of the film terrorizes the household. I've really enjoyed it. It's really good.
Oh, wow. So on the scale of... Laserdisc to VHS. Again, I think I know where this one's going.
Aversa.
<Yes. laughs> It threw me off there. I didn't know what you meant. Verse. What's that mean? VHS. Okay, so three hits. That's a good ratio. And I guess we should rate Midnight Special as well.
Oh, I say solid VHS.
Solid VHS, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Our scale is a little bit limited, isn't it?
It's a little bit for the moment compared to all these great films we've been watching. Yeah.
Fair enough. Well,
is there anything you've seen recently, Will, you want to discuss?
There is. I can't remember if we discussed it on the last show or not, but I did take the kids to see, in the UK, Zootropolis, in the rest of the world, Zootopia.
Zootopia.
I don't know what the story behind the name change is here, but Zootropolis is a bit more of a mouthful. And even confused my kids because I've been showing them the trailers for Zootopia in a build-up to the film. And then I was like, do you want to go see Zootropolis? And they're like, what is it?
Yeah, no, don't want to see the other one. But you got the name wrong.
So it did cause some confusion. But a solid film, actually. You know, it's Disney. And cutesy-wootsy. A little story about a bunny rabbit who joins the police force in Zootopia. Or Zootropolis, I should say. And the police force in the city has always been, like wild beasts and hunting animals. And the bunny rabbit's the first of its kind, peace-loving, harmless sort of creature. But she goes on an adventure to solve a crime that implicates some of her higher-ups in the police force. There's a spate of rabid attacks within the city, which spreads panic that the wild beasts might be turning on the peace-loving animals again. They've lived in harmony for so long, and they've given up their wild hunting ways, and they're all vegetarian now. But that whole peaceful time is in jeopardy, and the little bunny rabbit, with the help of a criminal fox, have to team up and try and solve the mystery. And it's good. I really enjoyed it. It's not the best Disney film you'll ever see, but it flows along really nicely. The animation is really good, as you'd expect. The kids weren't bored at any point. They really enjoyed it.
That's a good sign.
Always, I'd have to say it's a solid VHS.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Other than that, I've watched a bit of TV. I continue to watch The 100 with my wife. I still don't really know why, but we do. We continue. It's compelling in a kind of maybe this episode won't be as bad as the last one, kind of way. And then none of the episodes are really terribly bad, but it's never brilliant either. But they have finally, just at the point, and I swear, like the week before it happened, I was like, they've got to start killing off major characters in this because we've been watching Game of Thrones. We just binged season 5.
Okay, yeah.
They kill off a main character every week in that. They really need to start killing off main characters in the 100 because it's just like everybody's still there, everybody's doing their thing, and the vastness, the scope of the show has expanded considerably since the early days, as I mentioned in the last show. But, it feels like there's not ever anything at risk in the program, but they did finally start killing off main characters with a couple in quick succession, so it's starting to get better. And there are, I haven't really read because America's always ahead of us with these things. There have been reports about characters being disgruntled behind the scenes, like actors being disgruntled behind the scenes about the way their characters are treated or killed off, or the way they've been treated on the show. And it's starting to get a bit of drama to it now. So I'm hoping it's heating up and it's really going to kick on. But I did see a bold statement on the internet that said The 100 is now as good as Game of Thrones, which is utter bullshit. But if it gets there...
It's like clickbait or something.
Yeah, it does a bit, doesn't it? But I'm hoping that The 100 is going to be worth the long haul, because, I don't know, what are we, like, 3 seasons in now, I think? I'm hoping it's going to get good soon.
I think it's like the first season there, so nothing's happening, it's getting a bit mediocre. Like, it's on the third season, it's like, blimey, what's doing something good?
It's all right. It has characters in it. Like, there's a guy that was in Battlestar Galactica, like the reimagined one, the newer one.
Oh yeah.
And I cannot remember his name in The 100. I just refer to him as Gator because that was his character in Battlestar Galactica. So little things like that keep me interested. But other than that, I watched it's a British show that's been on, I think, E4, one of the Channel 4 channels. And it's sort of aimed at a younger audience, I expect, but it's called The Aliens. And it was about, you know, after aliens have landed on Earth, they, in a similar way to District 9, they look like humans, but in a way similar way to District 9, they're treated as a lower class of citizen. They're quarantined within a wall. Their city is called Troy. They can pass through border control into the human side to work as cleaners and manual labour, but they have to be back by curfew at night. And Troy is pretty much self-governed. So there are aliens that that control. There's one in particular who's like the overlord and runs everything. It's criminal. They all wear shell suits. So they're really made out to be lower class or, you know, citizens, like, that sort of quite scummy. And then there's like a power shift. One of the aliens that used to be in charge is imprisoned on the human side for reasons that I don't want to spoil in case somebody wants to watch this program. He's busted out of prison, and then there's a power struggle for control of Troy. In the meantime, there's this lad who's very much caught in between the human side and the alien side. He has an interest in both. So it's funny in places. It's not hard-hitting drama. It's quite light entertainment, probably aimed at a sort of teen to 20s audience. But we watched it and we quite enjoyed it. It was only 6 episodes long, and I think there's going to be a second season probably. So it's quite good fun. It actually is quite clever in the fact that it's not hard-hitting, but it does keep you interested. There are always twists and turns. You can never predict what's going on. It's like the complete opposite of The 100, which has obviously now got a massive budget and a huge scale to it. This was very small scale, low budget, but had incredibly good writing and really kept you guessing the whole time. So I would recommend giving The Aliens, as it's called, on Alien Day, a look. It's not, you know, high budget, it's not gruesome, it's not horror, but it is quite funny, and it's worth a watch.
See if that's available on their catch-up service.
Yeah, it is. What's it called now? It's 4ALL, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
It used to be called 4OD, which I thought was a much better name. It's got that sort of like overdose or 4 on on demand. It was a little bit edgy. I quite liked that about Channel 4. But 4ALL now, I think it's called. ITV, for anyone in the UK, independent television, it's like a network here as well. Their catch-up service is called ITV Hub, which, I don't know about you, but always makes me think of Pornhub for some reason. Don't think they gave it much thought before they named it.
No. Well, it's ITV. What do you expect? The trash they come up with.
It's utter shit, isn't it? I haven't watched anything on ITV for a long, long, long time, other than football when they had it, and I don't think they even have that now. So,
I either catch the odd commercial for something, and it's usually their version of a successful BBC show.
Yeah. Although, controversially, The Voice leaving BBC, going to ITV. Yes. How has that happened? What kind of black magic?
ITV have got more money, I think.
Yeah, I reckon so. Anyway. Sorry.
I was going to Dee to say that The Voice is independently produced and the BBC weren't willing to stamp up what ITV were, so that's why it's changing channels.
Yeah, I think also, you know, possibly dwindling viewing figures, but you know, it probably suits an ITV market more. We'll see. I don't know. I don't mind because I don't watch ITV. I do watch BBC. It will no longer be on there. Win-win.
Excellent.
Moving on, John. I think it's probably time to rock out certainly my favourite part of the show, probably your least favourite at this at this point in time. It's
who we didn't interview this month.
You know, you know this one already, because we actually, I considered actually trying to make this happen, but I didn't. I've had a really busy month, as you know, the last show was delayed for however long, came out in April, and I didn't get around to being able to interview this chap, but he goes by the name of Phil Tippett, who you knew that name before, you know, before I even told you what this was about. You knew who it was.
Yes,
so this is somebody you would have really enjoyed talking to. And for those that don't know, Phil Tippett was the visual effects director for most, or certainly the original three Star Wars films. A New Hope, The Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. He's responsible, most famously, probably, for the virtual chess or the hollow chess scene on the Millennium Falcon, and actually came back to recreate that scene in Star Wars The Force Awakens. Other works he's been involved with include Twilight, huge fan, favourite of mine, clearly, vampires, and never seen it, RoboCop, Indiana Jones, and The Temple of Doom, amongst
Starship Troopers.
I wasn't going to mention that one because that's
okay.
Yeah, I was trying to hype him up, John.
Oh, sorry.
Many people do. It's my prejudice, not yours. But yeah, we had the opportunity to interview him. Obviously, in the build-up to the release of Star Wars: The Force Awakens on Blu-ray and DVD, it's out now, and we didn't. So,
no.
Just what would you have asked him, John?
Oh, God knows. I'm too starstruck, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, it's obviously he's an iconic iconic artist in his field, you know, for visual effects, you know, responsible for sort of the stop motion animation and the hologram, you know, sort of scenes in Star Wars. You know, impressive body of work, and yeah, it would have been great to have spoken with Phil, but you never know. One day we might actually have the time to do some of these interviews. So. There we go.
That'd be when the heading changes. So guess who we did interview this month?
Yeah, sit down. We've actually done it. We've actually interviewed someone. But that would have been. I think he's by far the biggest artist or biggest person involved with film that we could have interviewed to date. So that's who we didn't interview this month. I feel a bit sad about that one. Usually, I'm quite. You know, I don't even know this person. that would have been a good one. So. Moving on. We've got a new feature, and it's I'm excited that it's got a name as well.
Ooh.
We're going to call it Trailer Trash. In which, and he's a big fanfare and some drum roll, and I'll probably dub that in, maybe.
Insert effects here.
Indeed, you know, in post-production, this is going to sound amazing. a quick look, a quick run through, and I do mean quick because we're already nearly up to an hour, at some of the trailers that we've posted on the website since the last time we spoke. So, yeah, very, very briefly, let's have a quick look at what we've posted. And I'm going to start with Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. We saw a teaser trailer for that. It's a early prequel to the Harry Potter films, 70 years prior to Harry making his way to Hogwarts. It revolves around the author of the book, which is called Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, which features in Harry Potter. And the trailer, very much in keeping with the Harry Potter films, the visuals, the music. Very briefly, John, what are your thoughts on that? Did you see it?
I did see it. I thought it looked like another film in the Harry Potter franchise. I mean, it ticks all the boxes.
Yeah. Follows the adventures of Newt Scamander. He's got a shitty name.
Newt Scaramanga. No, that's a Bond villain.
Which I think that's what my wife's been calling him. But it's Newt Scamander, I think, or Scamander. Just watch the trailer; it says it in it. But I don't know. If you're a fan of Harry Potter and all that magic stuff, then I'm sure you'll be a fan of this film. It looks really slick. The effects look great. I'm sure it will be a hit. And certainly my kids are interested because they're massive Harry Potter fans. I still don't really give a shit about it. Next up, we've got the Turtles trailer, the new Turtles trailer. It's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle stuff from the shadows.
Secret of the Ooze. Oh, no, sorry.
Didn't watch the first Turtles, did you?
I did.
Yeah, who was it? Michael Bay produced. He's not the director, he's the producer, but that was still enough to get Megan Fox back into the fold. And I saw the trailer where she's dressed up as a schoolgirl, tying up her shirt, and I thought,
oh, God, yeah.
Do you know what? That's just a bit wrong, because she's probably about 40 by now. And she's not, but I can pretend. The trailer, for me, I liked the van, kind of in keeping with the Turtles. Bebop and Rocksteady look awesome.
They do.
The turtles still look weird. and Casey Jones, aka Green Arrow or whatever the fuck he's called from Arrow, is in there. Casey Jones is a big fan favourite. Might be okay if you're a Turtles fan.
And not in that particular trailer, but previewed in the one beforehand, we're going to get to see Krang and the Technodrome.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, Krang does sort of feature a little bit.
You see his eyes, don't you, I think?
Yeah. I mean, I was never a huge Turtles fan anyway.
I remember watching it as a kid. It was on when I was watching the whole slew of 4 till 6 in the afternoon children's TV that was on when you got home from school.
I never watched the cartoon. I only watched the movies that were the previous movies. I think maybe the first one and maybe the second one. But I was never a huge fan. I was a little bit too old for it, I think, possibly. I don't know. Maybe not.
Well, I don't rate much the first one of this new CGI rebooted version.
Mm.
But watching this trailer, I don't know, something about it makes me want. I really want to see this one.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it might be like as we've just listed. It's got the inclusion of all the Fano, Casey Jones, Bebop, Rocksteady, and it's like, oh, this feels more like Turtles than the previous one did. I mean, even the actors have said in interviews that they admit the first one has got many faults, and they're hoping that they can correct those faults and make this sequel a better film than the original. I don't know, something just clicks for me, so it looks like it's going to be better.
We'll see. Time will tell. We saw probably the most exciting trailer that we've got in this list is the first trailer for Doctor Strange, a Marvel film starring Benedict Cumberbatch. And I think that's the first time I've ever got his name correct. The man that can't say penguins. Google it. YouTube. Graham Norton show... Benedict Cumberbatch trying to say penguins. The man has trouble with it. It looks amazing. Elements of Inception to it in terms of the folding buildings, yes. and made me think of that the magic or mystic side of the Marvel universe. Looks really interesting. As we mentioned, Tilda Swinton's in there, not playing a woman, playing a I guess asexual being, perhaps, I don't know, or the great one, or whatever the fuck its name is, but it looks like Marvel have got another hit there, and I think what will make it stand out is the fact that it is different.
It looks different.
It's not your standard superhero fare, is it? It's something a little bit different about it, the magic and mystic side.
I mean, even the guys behind it said that was the proper tease. They said you haven't seen anything yet, really.
I think it's going to be quite special, so really looking forward to that one. Couple of TV trailers just very quickly. Voltron is coming back to Netflix. I never saw Voltron ever.
No.
I can't really comment, but reaction has been good. Even reaction to our post on the website has been good. Mr. Robot season 2.
It
wasn't really a trailer because it was just pieces of the first season put together and a little bit of a voiceover, but I am very excited for Mr. Robot coming back. That was an amazing season.
Tail end of July, I think that comes back.
It got really weird, but I didn't mind at all. I'm not sure how they're going to continue it, but yeah, as with anything that's successful, they're going to give it a go. I just hope it keeps its integrity. We had a look at the Guardians film from Russia.
Oh yes.
Which I'd seen kicking about a little bit before, but I've not really paid that much attention to it. But it kind of reminds me in ways of Nightwatch. Do you remember that film?
Oh, yeah. I do. I remember seeing cinema to see that, yeah.
Russian film. Yeah, I think I did as well, strangely. I own Nightwatch. I didn't buy Daywatch, but I do need to. I've seen it.
Isn't it a trilogy? Is there a third one?
It was supposed to be a trilogy. There was Daywatch. There was Nightwatch, Daywatch, and then it was supposed to be, I think it was it Twilight Watch or somewhere in between? It was supposed to be a trilogy, but they didn't see it through. I think maybe they concluded it in Daywatch.
You're right, yeah.
But it was supposed to be. But I mean, Guardians looks amazing in terms of special effects.
It does.
Wish I knew what was going on.
you can enable subtitles on those versions, or at least the newer one, so you know what's actually being said.
Yeah, I didn't really, but yeah.
Okay.
Why not? If you're that interested in it, then do so. If it comes out on Netflix or something, I'll watch it definitely. Give it a go.
Unfortunately, it's not until next year.
Well,
I think it's February next year.
Time flies when you're having fun, you know.
Oh, especially so much other stuff to watch, bloody hell.
Like Warcraft. The Magnificent Seven. Hmm. Are you a fan of The Magnificent Seven?
I've never seen it.
I don't remember watching it, but I'm sure my dad was quite a fan of the Western back in the day, Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid and that sort of stuff. This one's directed by Antoine Fuqua, who directed Training Day and The Equalizer, both of which are actually pretty good films. I don't know how this is going to work, because a lot of his films are sort of set, as I wrote on the website, set in quite a close urban environment. This is obviously on a vast scale, set in the Wild West. And it's very open and very vast, and I'm not sure. But it stars, it's got Chris Pratt in it, surely as a comedy element, and Denzel is in there, Ethan Hawke is in there. So a lot of people he's worked with before on that one. Possibly second most exciting one for me on our lineup of trailer trash is Jason Bourne. Are you there?
It didn't do anything for me.
It didn't do anything for you. Jason Bourne didn't do anything. Are you a fan of the Bourne films?
I've never been not particularly impressed with the fourth one. I don't know, what was it, the third one?
Well, I think the fourth film was...
The fourth one was the
Jeremy Renner one, which we discussed in the last show.
Must be number three. I must have just sort of tuned out for some reason. I think I need to watch it again. I don't know. I watched it. It looked like a decent Bourne film. It didn't really make me go, I must see this.
Okay, Bourne is my Bond, I think. I was never really a fan of Bond. I don't like Bond, but Bourne... It's exciting. I love the sort of set, sort of stunts, the stunt coordination, the movement to it, the energy to it, the execution of everything. It's all very precise. I really like, I like Matt Damon, and I think I'm pleased to see him back in the Bourne films. It might be a step too far, as I said last time, but we'll see. I certainly enjoyed the trailer, and it looks like Bourne as Bourne should be, rather than Bourne with Jeremy Renner. Which seems a bit strange. Okay, final two on the list as we speak as we record at this time on Alien Day, our favourite Alien Day of the year. Independence Day Resurgence, quite apt. Aliens again coming back. Roland Emmerich again leading this film. Jeff Goldblum and Bill Pullman returning. And Brent Spiner's in there as well, Data from Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Thought he was dead.
Weird.
Not as Brent Spiner's dead, but I thought the character from Independence Day was dead.
No idea. Will Smith is not in it, as we know.
No.
Any thoughts on this one?
It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun, but I kind of switched off a bit when you saw London being attacked again. Is it just me, or have we seen London being attacked a lot recently? How many ways can we destroy London? Because it's okay to destroy London, because then the rest of the world will go, oh my God, we have to do something about it, because London's been destroyed. It's like,
I think perhaps it won't just be London in the film. I'm sure it'll be Paris.
Oh no.
We'll probably see the Eiffel Tower get done again. And Yeah, I don't know. I just hope it's not as cheesy as the first one. Jolly good. Well done, jolly old Brits. Yeah, have a cup of tea after shooting some aliens. It was a bit cheesy, wasn't it, the first one?
It was a bit, yeah.
Maybe a little bit more integrity to this one, but I doubt it. We'll see. And the last one on the list, a very recent addition to the website. We got the last trailer for X-Men Apocalypse. I'm not a huge fan of the X-Men films. I'll watch them. I think I've seen them all, but I'm not a huge fan. Any thoughts on this one?
Initially, I felt I was a bit done with the X-Men. I watched the previous two trailers and thought, it looks like another decent X-Men film. But for some reason, watching this last trailer, something clicked. And I went, I really have to see this one. Something that the excellent website Den of Geek did a little article showing you. You can do it with any film trailers, that when they release film trailers, they always use the most recent special effects at that time. And what they've done is they've compared shots in the trailer that are in all the trailers so far, and you can see how improved they've been in the few months. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe the effects looks more polished in this latest trailer, and it just Well, that's, I don't know, something just clicked with me. I went, oh yeah, I think I have to watch this one.
That's what I was hoping would happen with Gods of Egypt, and it didn't get any better, and that was a massive flop.
Oh,
I mean, what a fucking flop that was. Terrible.
I still want to see that one to see how bad it is.
Well, you're a glutton for punishment. But you're right, I think I've become a lot more interested in the X-Men franchise since Days of Future Past, which was the first X-Men film that I really thought, this is starting to look like it, like an X-Men film should look.
Yeah.
I don't know. The first X-Men film was on TV the other day, and I caught a little bit of that again. And
it just looked dated.
It really does look dated. I mean, Hugh Jackman is so much younger. It's crazy.
16 years ago, now it's 2000 that came out.
Crazy the difference. But yeah, so there we go. That's that. What else did we have to talk to? Oh, yes, TV, a little bit of TV stuff. Well, I've had some jollies recently. We went and saw Midnight Special to preview screening together.
Yep, as discussed.
Stu, who also writes for the unheardnerd.com and the gaming side of things, got to go to the marathon for the Hunger Games, and had a lovely time, got some special treatment there as well. I went to a Star Wars screening of the documentary that comes with the Star Wars The Force Awakens, the Blu-ray. Anyway, it's a sort of a cinematic journey, Secrets of Star Wars The Force Awakens, which was a fantastic evening, again at the Picture House Central, the day before we went and saw Midnight Special. And they had R2-D2 and C-3PO there walking and moving around, and they had stormtroopers guarding doing security in the screening and walking around, and there were all sorts of things, and a free bar. It's fantastic. And the best goodie bag, a Star Wars Lego. Awesome.
But hey, doesn't get better than that.
Exactly. So that was really good. But I went with Stu, aka at Two Button Hero, I think it is on Twitter, and we went to see a program being recorded yesterday. Uh-huh. And it was a new gaming program presented by a well-known presenter here, Dara O'Brien. Presents shows like Mock the Week, and he used to do Robot Wars. Was he one of the main presenters, or was he the pit guy, or was he the main?
He's just filmed a brand new series of Robot Wars. He hasn't been shown yet.
Oh, he wasn't in the old one.
I don't think he was. I remember the first series was Philippa Forrester and Craig Charles.
You're right. And okay, well, I'm getting confused anyway. But
okay, I'm pretty sure he's just finished filming a new series and it hasn't screened yet.
I think you're probably right. But he's also filming this program called Dara O'Brien's Go 8-Bit, which I think it's a tenuous thing, but and I don't think many people pick up on it at first. But Go 8-Bit, I think, is a play on Go Ape Shit. I'm not entirely sure, but it's based on what was a show at the Edinburgh Festival, a comedy show, where these two guys would get comedians up on stage, basically mixing comedy and video games, and they would play against each other in one-on-one games, multiplayer games. And this has been developed for TV. The two guys that developed the show for Edinburgh are the team captains. There's two sofas, one on each. One's really good at gaming, the other's not so good. they play that up. One's super confident, one's like, oh, I don't know what's going on. Dara O'Brien obviously hosts the show. They've got a woman who presents and gives the facts about the games as they go on. And then you have like celebrities or comedians joining the show. And so we went along to see this being recorded, and usually these things, it's like you're told when to clap, you watch, there's a lot long gaps in between, you get a bit bored at times, and there's not a lot going on. And certainly, my experience of going to see Red Dwarf recorded was painful and not that enjoyable. This is the complete opposite. They kept recording pretty much continuously. It was like 3 or 4 hours, one or two gaps where they had to change the set around a little bit or set up different parts of the set, but generally they kept flowing. So like part one is one continuous recording, part two is one continuous recording, so on and so forth. And the crowd were actually really encouraged to participate, and they asked for like a football stroke soccer atmosphere in the studio. So they want you to shout and cheer and shout instructions or heckle the other team. And one of the great things about it is that on your smartphone, You log in to their app, or not app, but their web service, and you get to vote on who you think's going to win each challenge. And whichever team has the highest percentage, that's the number of points that can be won from the challenge. So they had David James, former England goalkeeper, and they had a comedian, Susan Calloran, I think her name is. And and they were against each other. And so they were playing a whole multitude of games. So they played Tetris. They played Duck Hunt from the old Spectrum and Commodore days. They played Tekken, which was amazing. Like the atmosphere in the studio was amazing when this guy did a combo. Like the guy that wasn't actually touted to win did this combo and smashed the other player's face into his knee. It was like the place was erupting. It was a really, really great atmosphere. And they played Star Wars Battlefront. And then they have a quirky thing at the end where they used humans as controllers. They had one of these things that creates a circuit through a human body, and you have to touch one person to go right, one person to go left, one person to fire. So it's a little bit of fun, but really, really enjoyable. That's coming to Dave, the channel. Yes, anyone that's not in the UK, there's a channel called Dave, the same channel that shows Red Dwarf, funnily enough, now. So that's coming to Dave in the autumn. Sorry, fall, if you're in America. God, yeah, America, you got it all wrong. And and it's a lot of fun. So I encourage people to watch that. So there we are. I think that's probably a show, John, unless you got anything else to talk about. We're done?
No, I think we're done.
Right, stop listening. Go away. No, but follow us on Twitter, hit us up. It's I'm at the Unheard Nerd on Twitter. John is at UK Film Nerd. Definitely check out theunheardnerd.com, and definitely check out John's 3-part in-depth look at Waterworld. Not a topic that's often touched on websites, I imagine, but John's been developing this story for literally years. It was on the first draft was on the old website, the latest one.
Oh, it definitely was a first draft. I can't believe how bad my writing was.
Well, the latest one is now on the new website, theunheardnerd.com, and there's a banner at the top. There'll always be a graphic somewhere that's going to lead you to it. But three parts, it covers like the film, the video game, and a different cut of the movie, I think.
An extended version.
The Ulysses cut. So definitely worth checking that out. It's, John's put a lot of effort into that. So do us a favour, have a read, comment on it, and let us know what you think. You can find us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/TheUnheardNerd. And always you can email us. It's theunheardnerd@gmail.com. That was Betamax and Laserdisc, the TV and movie podcast from theunheardnerd.com. My name has been Will, and it always will be. Also, John has been with me. Thanks a lot, John.
Thanks, Will. See you later, everyone.
TheUnheardNerd.com.